I think it's 8 o'clock in Yerushalayim, and we're going to learn a little bit about the parasha of Bahar. Before we actually study the psukim that are on the sheet before you, I just like to, speculate. I've often thought about what would have happened if Bnei Yisrael had not been involved in the Chet HaMeraglim, in the sin that was generated by the spies that were sent by Moshe Rabbeinu to Eretz Canaan in order to determine something. I mean, when we get to that parasha of Shalach in Book of Bamidbar, we'll talk about it. But even at the end, we're at the end of Vayikra. We're at the end of Vayikra, Bahar and Bechukotai. Yeah, you have the feeling that it's really the end of something. I mean, after all, the parasha of Bahar includes an extensive summary or directives about mitzvot hatluyot be'eretz Yisrael, not only here, but extremely excessively here in this parasha. And the parasha Bechukotai, the next parasha, which sometimes we read together, Bahar Bechukotai together, next parasha has the covenant in it, Bechukotai, the agreement between Am Yisrael and between Am Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that it seems to me that we could say that the book of Vayikra is kind of the end. The end, because at this time we've left Mitzrayim, we've come to Har Sinai, we've built the Mishkan, we've learned what there is to do in the Mishkan, we're about to go into Eretz Yisrael, and God has taught us many of the halachot, especially the halachot of Shemitah v'Yovel, that distinguish ownership for Am Yisrael from any other kind of ownership that we've ever learned about. And so, if Bnei Yisrael had not entered, had not sinned with the spies, if they had not turned away from Eretz Canaan, if they had not told Moshe Rabbeinu that they were not interested in continuing the sojourn with him, they would have gone into Eretz Yisrael. The Book of Bamidbar, the stories, I mean, it's a little hard to understand, well, this, but it would seem to me that the stories in Bamidbar might never have been told, or might never have come up, or the stories of Bilam and Pinchas and Korach. I mean, where would they would not have existed. They would not have existed. People would have learned the Torah. They would have come into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu, if he had not sinned with the sin of Mei Meriva, of the difficult waters, Bnei Yisrael asked for water, Moshe Rabbeinu gave it to them, but he hit the rock instead of speaking to the rock, as you remember, a very difficult matter. A difficult matter. Why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to do? And even if you say, as some of the commentaries say, that he was mistaken about something, he got it wrong. I mean, but nevertheless, Moshe Rabbeinu, after all, there was no one else like him. No one else like him, so that you might have actually created a kind of situation which was Moshe Rabbeinu leading the Jewish people into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu leading the Jewish people into Eretz Yisrael, and then continuing to teach them the Torah. The Torah. In fact, there's another question connected, a connected question that you might ask, and that is also, the Rishonim asked the question. They say, how come there are Svarim in the Torah? Why is it that the Torah is five books? I mean, why couldn't it just be one book? I mean, it's one Torah. We're given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Bnei Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was the intermediary. He brought the Torah to the people. Why do we need books? The book of Bereshit, the book of Shemot. I mean, it's true that the Ramban looks at each of the Svarim of the Torah as having its own message. Right? The book of Bereshit, the Ramban says that Sefer Yetzirah, the creation of the world, the creation of the world with Bnei Yisrael, etc. That's the whole book of Bereshit. And the book of Shemot is the Sefer Geula of redemption. So what's supposed to happen? Sefer Geula is attached to Vayikra, which contains a lot of dinim that are connected to Tumah v'Tahara, right? Places you should go or places you shouldn't go. And those things are connected to the building of the Mishkan, which is at the second half of the book of Shmot. So maybe the original possibility was that Bnei Yisrael would not sin with the chet of the Meraglim. They would go into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu would still be with them, and he would be teaching them the Torah. But that would make sense to have a separate book, the book that was given to Bnei Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, so to speak. And so, working backwards, the idea of having books for different locations, right? The book of Bereshit is the book of Eretz Canaan. The book of Shemot is the book of Exodus from Egypt. The book of Vayikra is the continuation of Dinei HaMikdash HaMizbeach. All this is true. Maybe. So I tell you this as an introduction. It is an introduction to the first psukim in the book of Yehoshua, which I think we should now learn together. We'll come back to this question again. Vayhi acharei mot Moshe Eved Hashem, and it took place. Talking about acharei mot Moshe Eved Hashem, Rashi says about this word vayhi, and it came to pass, and it was. So Rashi says, Mechubar al Seder HaTorah. You see this? The word Vayechi indicates a connection between what's going to be told to us and where we came from. Where was that? HaMesayemet b'Ptirat Moshe HaTorah. Al Seder HaTorah, HaMesayemet b'Ptirat Moshe. It ends with the death of Moshe at the end of the book of Dvarim. And this story, the story of Yoshua, is somehow connected. So it says, Vayihi achrei mot Eved, mot Moshe. That's how the book of Yoshua starts. Moshe Rabbeinu is called Eved Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu is called Eved Hashem. The two words that are used most liberally to define the life of Moshe Rabbeinu are in the beginning of Bamidbar, Anav. Moshe Rabbeinu is called humble. He's the most humble. And here in Yoshua, he's called Eved Hashem. And so I think humility is something that I understand more easily than Avdut. Then Avdut, I don't know why Moshe Rabbeinu is called Eved Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu's understanding of Torah and the demands that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was making on him, he understood them better than anybody else. Why would you call that Avdut? Why would you call that servility? Moshe Rabbeinu was a clear thinker. He understood what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. He understood why he should be following the dictates of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And yet, the The book of Yoshua calls Moshe Rabbeinu when he wants to honor his memory, right? Achrei Mot Moshe, Eved Hashem. You can't say Moshe without complimenting him in some way. And the some way was Eved Hashem. That's what we talked. That's what we said, right? That's what we said. Vayom Hashem el Yoshua bin Nun, Misharet Moshe Lemor. And it sounds to me, I mean, this means that, and God said to Yoshua bin Nun, the one who served Moshe. In other words, distinction. Distinction. Moshe was Eved Hashem. Yoshua was Misharet Moshe. He served Moshe. Now, that's not a bad thing. But you can't compare these two eponyms. Moshe Rabbeinu was Eved Hashem. Whatever that might mean. It indicates a closeness between Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yoshua, he's also complimented. He was Misharet Moshe, the servant of Moshe Rabbeinu. The servant of Moshe Rabbeinu. So there's a clear distinction in the first pasuk in Yoshua between Moshe Rabbeinu and Yoshua bin Nun. In fact, you might say that the reason that the first pasuk was written was to tell us something about leadership. That there can be a Yoshua that comes after Moshe, and even though Moshe is far superior to Yoshua, nevertheless, Yoshua might be a reasonable alternative. Because you can't get Moshe Rabbeinu so easily. You can't expect that the next leader of Am Yisrael is going to be Moshe Rabbeinu. You can't expect that. What you expect is Yoshua bin Nun. Moshe kibel et haTorah mesara liYoshua. Let us say that Yoshua was equal to Moshe Rabbeinu. Certainly not. But Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who passed the Torah on to Yoshua, and that gave Yoshua priority in certain areas. Pasuk Bet, Moshe Avdi Meit. Hashem says to Yoshua, Moshe, my Eved, again, Avdi Meit. Right, again saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Moshe Avdi Meit, Vata. Kum avor et hayarden hazeh, ata v'chol ha'am hazeh la'aretz asher anochi noten lahem livnei Yisrael. And you, Yoshua, you're going to follow the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to take them out of Mitzrayim, to bring them, to get the Torah, to give, teach them the Torah for 38 years, and to bring them up to this point. And you, Yoshua, you're going to complete the job. You'll finish it. Moshe Avdi Meit, Moshe can't finish. Atakum avor et hayarden hazeh, go all, cross over the Jordan River. Ata v'chol ha'am hazeh, you and all of these people together, el ha'aretz asher anochi noten lahem livnei Yisrael, to this land. Right? Rashi, Moshe Avdi Meit. You see the Rashi? Here it is. Just a second. Moshe Avdi Meit. Be'ilu hayak hayam bo hayiti chavetz, Rashi says. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant to actually say to Yoshua. You know, Yoshua, if Moshe Rabbeinu was still alive, still existed, bo hayiti chavetz, I would rather he was doing this job that I'm giving you. Rabotenu darshu al shloshet alafim alachot shenishtakechu b'yemei evlo shel Moshe. Why does the Torah say Moshe Avdi Meit? Why does the book of Yoshua, I'm sorry, why is it Moshe Avdi Meit? What do you mean Meit? We know he's dead. Right? We started out Achrei Mot. So what does Moshe Avdi Meit? What does that mean? So Rashi says, Ilu HaYakayam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying to Yoshua, If Moshe Rabbeinu was still alive, I would rather he did this job. Rabbeinu Darshua, and Rashi continues and says, when the Chachamim saw this pasuk with this Moshe Avdi mate, this emphasis on the death of Moshe, he says, Darshuhu, they connected it in their, metaphorically, to Shlosha Dalafim Halachot, 3,000 regulations, Shenishtakhu B'Yimei Avlosha Moshe, people forgot. They were so tied to Moshe Rabbeinu, they were so tied to the fact that they could ask Moshe Rabbeinu anything at any time, that during the time that Moshe Rabbeinu, after Moshe Rabbeinu died, during the mourning periods for Moshe Rabbeinu, they said 3,000 halachot were forgotten. They came to Yehoshua, b'nei avlo shel Moshe, by Yehoshua b'sha'al. So Yehoshua came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, listen, I've got these 3,000 questions that people ask me. Can we take time and get the answers? He says, by Yeshua b'sha'al, amal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Avdi mate, v'atorah al Shimon nikreit lomar lecha, eifshar. I can't do it. We cannot do it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "E efshar tsei b'tardam b'milchama." You, Yehoshua, you're not going to reach that level of perfection that Moshe Rabbeinu reached. Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't have had any trouble with these 3,000 halachot. They would all be clarified. They would all be clarified instantly. But you, Yehoshua, you're not Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, E efshar, I can't give you 3,000 answers. Say, v'tardan b'milchama. In order that they should have confidence in Yeshua, in order they should have confidence to Yeshua's leadership, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to them in this drosh, in this medrash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to them, well, you better go to war. You better fight. They'll busy themselves with the war against the seven nations of Canaan. That's what Rashi says. Pasuk Gimel, Kol Makom Asher Tidrok Kaf Raglechem. Every place, any place, Asher Tidrok Kaf Raglechem, where your feet will walk. You'll walk every place. You'll walk in Eretz Yisrael. Lachem Netativ. I gave it to you, Kasher Dibarti El Moshe. This is like a little bit careful. You have to be careful in the interpretation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, wherever you stomp around in Eretz Canaan, that's what I'm giving you. In other words, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu that he was giving the land of Canaan to Bnei Yisrael have to also take it. It's not enough that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to give it, but Bnei Yisrael has to exhibit the willingness to take it, to become the owners of Eretz Canaan, and therefore, Kol Makom Asher Tidrok Raglechem Bo, it's the places that you walk in, the places you go to, you have to conquer the land. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will support you, but you've got to do it. You've got to do that kind of conquest. Pasuk Dalet is a statement about the borders of Israel, Mimidbar Alvanon in the north, Azev Nahar Gadol, Nahar Prat, the Euphrates called Eretz Achitim, Balayam Gadol Mevo Hashemesh Yegvulchem. So this is the area in which we can say God gave it to Bnei Yisrael. But Bnei Yisrael has a special obligation to take it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking to Yehoshua ben Nun, and he says, Pasuk Hey, lo yitayatzev ish lefanecha. No person will stand in your way. In other words, your leadership will be intact. It won't be torn away. Kol yemei chayecha, kasher yiti Moshe yeimach, lo arpicham lo ezvecha. So here we have a promise from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he, Yehoshua, will be treated as Moshe Rabbeinu was treated by heaven. Lo arpicha, I won't allow you to become weak, and you won't. I won't leave you. I won't leave you. So, Rak chazak v'amatz me'od. Rashi wonders, like, well, what is the chazak v'amatz? Why do you have to be strong? I mean, if God is protecting you, God is leading you, I mean, you should be able to. I mean, the personal strength is kind of irrelevant. So Rashi translates that and it says, "B'Torah, k'mo she'omar lishmor v'lasot k'kol ha'Torah." Okay. Again, so Yeshua's position becomes the protector of the Torah. The protector of the Torah. One more pasuk. Pasuk Chet 8. Lo yamush sefer Torah hazeh mipicha. And this famous phrase, Vagita bo yomam v'layla. You should dwell upon it, think on it, on the Torah, day and night. And some wanted to make this into a kind of a halakhic statement that everybody has an obligation to learn some Torah during the day and some Torah during the nighttime period. Tatskil, Rashi says, is tatsliach. The word tatskil means you'll understand things. Seichel, the word seichel. Magita bo yomam v'layla leman tishmor lasot kechol hakatuv bo ki az tatslich et derachech v'atatskil. So we see that in the pasuk, Zayin. See pasuk Zayin, Rak Chazak ve'ematz, Hashem says to Yehoshua, be strong. Be strong, Chazak ve'ematz, me'od. Lishmor lasot kechol ha'Torah asher tzivcha Moshe avdi. Again, a kind of an odd emphasis, three times Moshe Rabbeinu is called Avdi. And it's not so clear to us why Avdi is the emphasis, is the way we are to remember Moshe Rabbeinu. As I said before, humility is something that we can appreciate. I think we rarely come across it. But if we find people who are humble, we can imagine that they are a kind of a small percentage of Moshe Rabbeinu. But what is it that I'm supposed to think about Moshe Rabbeinu when he is called Eved Hashem or Moshe Avdi? Why is that such a remarkable point that we have to consider? I want, before we leave Yehoshua, to point out one more pasuk. The pasuk is at the very end of the pasukim that we just learned are the pasukim in Perek Aleph, pasukim 1-9. And we're left with the question of why Moshe Rabbeinu is called Avdi or Eved Hashem, and why it is that this is all to point to Yehoshua, to explain to Yehoshua that he will be successful, but his greatness will pale before the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. There's no way to compare. And yet, in Yoshua Perek of Dalet, the last Perek of the book of Yoshua, Pasuk Kavtet, one of the 29, one of the last Sukkim, the Pasuk reads, if you see it, the same beginning as we had before, the same beginning that we had in Perek Aleph. All of the Advarim Ha'elu, in this case, is the conquest of Eretz Canaan. Not complete, but significant. Yoshua ben Nun conquered the land in a significant manner. It says then, Vayamot Yoshua ben Nun Eved Hashem ben Me'ah ve'ezer Shanim. So there you have it. What do you have? That Yoshua ben Nun, who did not bring the Torah to Bnei Yisrael, who was not the ultimate teacher of Torah in Am Yisrael, who was not the one who begged forgiveness for the sins of Am Yisrael, nevertheless, Yoshua ben Nun was able to achieve that level of Eved Hashem, which teaches us something about this notion that Avdut, I mean, there are things that are really very difficult. They run against our nature, and they make it difficult for us to appreciate our own relation, the possible relationship that we could have with a Kodesh Baruch Hu, like Anava, like humility. Humility is really hard. It would seem to most of us to be not kind of in sync with our constitution. I mean, we might like to be you humble, but it doesn't seem to be that attractive. Whereas Avdut is something that it seems to be like easier. I mean, what do you have to do to be an Eved Hashem? You have to just live according to the Shulchan Aruch. And for the people, you know, the people who do that, the people who live in accordance with the Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't seem to be that difficult. So from these two psukim, from the pasuk about Moshe Rabbeinu at the beginning of the book of Yoshua and about Yoshua at the end, we can say, okay, Eved Hashem, it doesn't mean the same thing for everybody. Not everybody is the same as Moshe Rabbeinu. Not everybody is the same as Yoshua ben Nun. But everybody can be an Eved Hashem. And even though Yoshua began his story by sitting quietly and listening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling him what he has to do, he ended his story by achieving the eponym Eved Hashem. Just as Moshe Rabbeinu was Eved Hashem, so too Yoshua was Eved Hashem. And even though nobody would suggest that Yoshua ben Nun raised himself to the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Avdut of Moshe Rabbeinu was different, surely, than the Avdut of Yoshua ben Nun. And yet, both of them are called Eved Hashem. So you remember we talked about history. So what would have happened if Bnei Yisrael had, what would have happened if Bnei Yisrael had not sent the Meraglim, if they had not denied their interest in Eretz Canaan, if they had not wanted to go and follow Moshe's directive and Yoshua's leadership? I mean, what would have happened? So it could be that the Torah would have ended at the end of the book of Vayikra. Now, end, just like beginning of things, is not always so clear. You remember that the Haggadah Shel Pesach, they say, like, when did Pesach start? When are we supposed to remember it? What happened? So we know that there are at least two opinions in the in that one Mishnah, Rabbi Shmuel, a machloket Rabbi Shmuel, the Amoraim. One said, Avadim hayinu leparo b'Mitzrayim, that it starts from the Avdut in Mitzrayim. And the other opinion was, v'tchila ovdei avodah zarah hayu avotenu, that at the beginning, right, Terach was an idolater. After all, Terach was an idolater. So the Haggadah itself says, we don't know exactly where the beginning is. So maybe there are two beginnings. The story, I mean, if you want to tell a story, you have to start from someplace. So here the story is, we'll start from two places. So surely the end of the story might not be in the very last pasuk of the Chumash, of Chumash Vayikra, but it could be nearby. It could be near that end. Just 1 second. See, in the Parsha Behar, Bechukotai, there is a tochacha. A tochacha is like a brit, a covenant. And before the Jews would enter Eretz Yisrael, they had to agree to a covenant. Their covenant was, you know, if you do the mitzvot, you'll get the goodness from heaven. If you don't do the mitzvot, so the opposite will take place. That's Bechukotai. And Behar, our parsha this week, is the parsha where the mitzvot that are connected to Eretz Yisrael are emphasized as though they're about to go into Eretz Yisrael. When they didn't go into Eretz Yisrael, when they didn't go, they denied that they wanted to go, when they denied their connection to the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, when they denied that connection, so the brit of Bechukotai was wiped out. It was sort of like didn't exist. So that the end of the book of Vayikra kind of a de facto became the Parsha Behar. The Parsha Behar. And in the Parsha Behar, you have that statement. If you look at it, you have that statement, Pasuk Nun Bet, Nun Gimel, Nun Dalet are all about Geula, about redeeming lost property. It's like this strange idea that the Torah had that people should always be able to hold on to their property. And even if they sell it because they have a cash flow problem, they will get their property back at the end. And that's what the pasuk says, pasuk nun dalet. Vimlo yigael be'elo, and if you don't redeem this property that you lost in one of the ways which I have suggested, the Torah says, v'yetza b'shnata yovel, hu b'na v'imo. So the shnata yovel, the 50th year in the cycle, is so powerful that it changes everything, brings everything back to the way it was. And why does the Torah emphasize all of this? Talk about Eretz Yisrael, talk about Geula, meaning getting my house back, getting my property back. Because, right, Ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim, b'nei Yisrael are my servants. In other words, the necessary lead up to conquering Eretz Yisrael is Ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim. Avadai heim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, they are my slaves. Asher hotzeiti otam me'eretz Mitzrayim. Ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim. They are my slaves. Avadai heim, my slaves. They are slaves. They are my slaves. This is the introduction. So it turns out that the greatest of all the people who accomplished this desire in heaven to produce a nation that could be called Avadayim was, of course, Moshe Rabbeinu. But the Yehoshua ben Nun taught us that you didn't have to be Moshe Rabbeinu in order to achieve the status of Avadayim. But all of Am Yisrael could achieve the statement of Avadayim as long as you accepted the rules and the rulings of the Torah about relationships of a kind of financial type of relationship. So ki b'nei Yisrael, ki b'nei Yisrael avadim, b'nei Yisrael are slaves. This statement is made at the end of the parasha Bahar. The end of the parasha Bahar is to a certain extent the end of the Torah. It's the end of the Torah because B'chukotai is going to be erased. I mean, not erased, but it's going to be limited. And there'll be another Brit, another covenant, 38 years later when the Jews go into Eretz Canaan under the leadership of Yehoshua ben Nun. And 38 years later, there'll be another covenant in the parish of Kitavo, which is one of the last parshiyot of the book of Dvarim. So you have at the end of the book of Vayikra, the end of the book where Dvarim, and the people who went into Eretz Israel were the people who were going with the covenant of the book of Dvarim in Parshat Ki Tavo. And the people who might have gone into Eretz Israel were the ones who signed on to the covenant at the end of the parasha of Bechukotai. But that covenant was never fulfilled because B'nai Yisrael didn't make that move into Eretz Canaan. So from Moshe and the comparison of Moshe and Yehoshua, we learned that there are standards, but they're not the same for Moshe or for Yehoshua. And therefore, it's important to remember. It's important to remember that the righteous amongst us have greater obligations than those of us who are not so righteous. And there are, as we have said before, there are such people. All the best to you. Have a good Shabbos.